in the night. Your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true tales. It's Friday, May 3rd, and it's feeling summery outside.
Oh, it's been balmy the past few days.
Muggy day.
Very humid, which is my least favorite type of weather.
Yeah, when you get to swim through the air, it's no good. But, Well, we hope wherever you're at, it's lovely and delightful and not at all sweaty.
Still cool, maybe, perhaps.
Yeah, hang on to some of that spring weather before it's just... It's like I just went outside and I was like, it's happening. It's here.
It's already here.
It's summer's here. It's going to get worse, too. Because it was 80 when I thought that. And it's going to be 112 at some point. So,
Yeah. We're
good for now. But we're going to, I think... leave town this summer a couple times because I can't live like this.
We're about to leave town for several weeks here and there, starting in just 2 weeks with our full moon energy tour. We are going back on the road. If you haven't seen it before, or maybe you even had, we talk all about the darker side of the moon, what it does to us, what lurks up there, and what people really think happened during the Apollo missions.
Mm-hmm.
There's legend, lore, mysterious, macabre. It brings everything you love about the show to you. And it's not a show that you will hear on the regular feed. This is a live show only with video accompaniment.
Yes. Yes.
Audience participation.
Indeed.
And some knickknacks.
Yeah, there's objects and some surprises. We got
some surprises.
We got a whole list of things we're adding to and switching out and everything. So it'll be a fun. It's a moony as it's going to be, but also with new elements because that bitch is updating all the time. Who knew? It's like your iPhone. There's always another update, but it'll probably be hot in some of these places. But we're going anyway to St. Louis, Chicago, Milwaukee, Charlotte, Raleigh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Toronto, Kansas City, Oklahoma City, San Diego, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and ending it here in our home city of Dallas, Texas. So head over to sinisterhood.com/live shows and come meet us. You get some VIP tickets. A couple of places have a handful of VIP tickets left. And those are fun because you just hang out with us for 45 minutes afterwards. And we talk about whatever you want to talk about. Yeah. And you get a signed poster to take home.
A very nice signed poster, too. And we get to, it's like after hours.
Yeah.
After dark.
Yeah.
Except
the moon.
We talk about, we get a lot of FMKs during this, so sometimes. I can't say it's not totally non-after dark.
It gets spicy sometimes. Sometimes it's pretty spicy, but not as spicy as what a lineup you have curated of stories today. It is a wild.
This first one has me bothered.
Yes. Bothered is a good way to put it. All of these. I mean, There's something to raise the eyebrow and go, thank you for enduring this and coming out on the other side and writing to us about it. Because it is several wild rides in a row.
Yes. We always appreciate everyone sharing their stories because you never know who it's going to help. So thank you so much. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Suburban Fox. Love the name.
Mm-hmm.
And it is called, I Had an Anonymous Stalker, Then I Discovered Who He Was. Dear Heather and Christy, I love your podcast and been a longtime listener, but first-time contributor. I love the sensitivity with which you treat the stories and your compassion for victims. Keep keeping it creepy. If you do end up using my story, please keep me anonymous, for reasons which will become obvious as you read my story. Back in 2013, I began to get some odd text messages. They were always blank messages, as if someone had pressed only the space bar and sent it as a message. They were always from the same number, which was not one I had stored. At first, they were relatively infrequent, and I just ignored them. But they started to become more frequent. It was always the same. A blank message from the same number, and by this point, in late 2013, they were coming to my phone every day. I never responded to them in any way. I tried to block the number, but back in 2013, it wasn't as simple to block a number as it is today. When I tried to block the number, it only meant I didn't get a notification when a message came in. When I opened my text message app, I could still see all these blank messages. I called my network provider to see if they could block the number, but was told they could not. The options they gave me were 1, change my number, or 2, contact the police. I was possibly being stubborn, but there was no way I was changing my number, which I'd had for over a decade, because of some anonymous weirdo. And at this point, calling the police seemed a bit drastic. So I did nothing. Over the next few months, the messages continued, but varied in frequency. Sometimes only a couple a week, but sometimes every day. Now it was 2014, around 6 months after the messages had started. And one night, I decided I'd had enough. I'd received a message every day for 2 weeks, and it was starting to really bother me. So I called the police. They were very helpful. I live in Scotland, UK, and Scotland had very recently brought in some very robust stalking laws. The police officer on the phone told me that the law now stated that any action carried out on more than one occasion, which could reasonably be considered to cause fear or alarm, constituted stalking, and assured me that sending anonymous repeated text messages would definitely qualify. She asked me if I had any idea who might be sending the messages. I'd had a divorce in the preceding 5 years, and also a subsequent bad relationship. That's a whole other story. But the number which was sending the messages was definitely not the one I had stored for either of those men. The police officer told me to stay on the line and she would call the number. She warned me that it may well be a pay-as-you-go mobile, in which case it would be very hard to trace, but she felt it was worth trying. So try she did, and when she came back to me, she told me that the phone rang and went to voicemail, and that it was a work mobile. She then told me the name of the company. And honest to God, I think my stomach just about fell out of my body and squelched on the floor, because the person who had been sending me these messages for months was none other than my only first cousin. When I blurted out, "That's my cousin," to the police officer, she sounded a little confused, not half as confused as me, and said, "Oh, okay, so can I just leave you with that then?" Confused and more than a little stunned, I muttered, "Okay," and she ended the call. To give a little family context here, we are a small family who live in the same city. This man, my cousin on my deceased father's side, was not someone who I saw regularly. He was several years older than me. We got together as a family at Christmas, but other than that, I seldom saw him. He will now, from now on, be known as Cousin Psycho. That's how his number is now stored in my phone. We were not close, and I had never met up with him outside of wider family gatherings. I was stunned and completely unsure what to do. Should I call the police back and take this further, or attempt to deal with it myself? Was I putting myself in danger by doing nothing? The next day, I was sitting in my kitchen drinking coffee, and surprise, another blank message came in. There was no way I was letting this continue. So I replied to it. "Ladies, I know you will be able to imagine how much I wish I could have seen his reaction when he got my message. Hi, insert cousin psycho name. This is your cousin, insert my name. I've been getting a lot of blank messages from this phone and have only just discovered it belongs to you. This needs to stop. I'm guessing there may be a fault on your line. If it continues, I am going to need to contact your service provider." You'll notice that I gave him an out. My brain also did not want to accept the possibility that this man, who I had known since I was a child, was doing this on purpose. However, the fact that we had never communicated in any way over his work phone, and I had only ever sent him one message on his personal phone, which was a different number, was unsettling and suspicious, to say the least. Only a few seconds later, my phone rang, and I realized it was him calling me. I didn't want to speak to him, so I didn't answer it and went to voicemail. He left me a very flustered, and in retrospect, hilarious, message, telling me he didn't understand this and he didn't even have my number stored in his phone. A little bit of me wanted to believe that this was some kind of network error. Was it possible that my number was being messaged accidentally every time he messaged someone else's? However, I realized I now would be able to test this. If the messages were in error and not under his conscious control, they would be likely to continue. If they stopped, then I would have to accept that, for whatever reason, he was doing this on purpose. It may not be a huge surprise for you ladies to learn that I never received another message from that number. To say this experience unnerved me was an understatement. This man knew where I lived. He had spent Christmas Day in my home, then sent me a message on the 26th of December. I still don't know what his motives were in doing this, but I have avoided being in his company ever since and have been known to make a few unkind jokes to my mother about him having a collection of human heads in his basement. I do wonder if I should have followed it up further, either by going back to the police or by confronting him in person. But in the end, as it stopped, I let it go. I sincerely hope he does not have a collection of heads in his basement and that he has learned from this and has not displayed any stalkerish tendencies towards any other women. If I ever heard the slightest whisper that he had, I would be there standing with them. And a righteously enraged Scottish woman is not someone to be messed with. Stalking is such an insipid and damaging crime. I'm aware my experience comes at the very low end of the stalking spectrum. But even I felt the fear and loss of control, feeling like there was a loose cannon in my life. Keep it creepy, ladies, but not so creepy that you anonymously stalk your cousin. Much love.
What a stomach drop moment when the police officer's like, do you know this name? And you're like,
yeah, I know.
Do you know this
well.
Company?
Yeah.
How
we were
bizarre.
Christmas together a minute ago. Yeah, I know exactly who that is.
Yeah, when I read this, that was not at all what I was expecting, especially because there's not a huge relationship to go off of. So what was the motive?
No, it's one thing if it's good. A colleague or somebody that you had dated and didn't date anymore. Not that it's ever right, but at least in your brain's like, oh, that makes sense. But the fact that it was like your cousin, I was trying to like search my mind, search the internet. Like, why do you even send just a single blank message unless it is to see that it's a working number and you're trying to like get a response out of them or just kind of be like, I know where you are and I can message you. I don't know.
I think the test did it.
Yeah.
You're very correct, Suburban Fox. Once you told him that you knew what was up.
And then it stopped.
I mean, I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah, especially the immediate calling. Although I love that straightforward message of like, hi, cousin. It's your other cousin. I know it's you. And it's like, how long has she known it's me? I hope he shit his pants. I hope he was horrified.
Yeah, the immediate calling. Honestly, for a second I was like, okay, maybe they're calling because it really is a mistake. But the fact that you never got another message that he didn't think his part through on how to cover his tracks.
Yeah,
because if he had been, he'd be like, oh, I got to send another message or else she's going to know it was me. Not to give anybody any ideas.
Yeah.
But clearly, you know, it had to have been him and why you would do that other than just, I don't know, something weird, some kind of weird obsession or just
fixation. Yeah.
Yeah. Fixation is a good word for it.
I know. Regardless of what it is, I don't like it. But you're right. I mean, even if he like kept texting her and then later goes, oh, I got that fixed with my phone company. You're like, well, how did you get it fixed? And then you being the victim could absolutely just call the phone company and go, is this a thing that ever happens? Or is my cousin lying to me because he wants to text me every single day? I would lose it. Like every day for 6 months or at least long stretches of every day in a row. Nah, because then the days when you don't get the text, you're like, oh, thank God I'm not getting it. But you're still like, but will I? Like, is it over? It isn't.
And then nothing being said, it almost makes it weirder because my mind would just reel like, what is your motivation here? Like, you don't even know that I'm getting these messages. I'm not replying. Are you hoping that I will reply? And then something can, you know, maybe like, who is this? And then they fake a, you know, like a persona
catfish,
or something since you don't know that phone number. I don't know. But Suburban Fox was like, it's not getting to that point because I'm going to call your ass out right now.
And shout out to the Scottish police for taking it seriously and for passing those, especially back in 2013, 2014, like ahead of the curve, passing laws and not just going, I don't know, it's just some number, fucking get over it. I like the police officers, like, I'll call it myself. I'll figure out who it is
right now. Stay on the line. Yeah, good for them for having more severe stalking laws. We all should, because you're absolutely right. It's insipid, dangerous. And yeah, this may have been at the low end of the spectrum, but it stuck with you enough to write into us, and it affected your life. And I'm sure you still, like, wouldn't want to spend Christmas with him ever after that.
Mm-mm. No, not at all. And just that feeling of, I can't control who's messaging me, how it's happening, what this person wants from me. Like, she said, it's like a loose cannon. You're like, I don't know what they're capable of. So I'm glad you got that squared away. And I think this kind of stuff should be reported, because it is, it's sending those messages with the purpose of harassing you, and they're unwanted. So making them aware, like, stop fucking doing it. And yeah, he ratted himself out though by just stopping immediately.
Yeah, he did. But good. I'm glad that stopped for you. And I hope it didn't start up for anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Well, you know what grows faster than the weeds from all this rain we're having right now?
We'll say it.
Children.
Oh, yeah. It's
you. You will buy them clothes. And before you can even take the tags off, I'm not, the amount of clothes I've donated that still have tags because they outgrow them before they can wear them, it's a bummer, man. But I found a solution. Posh Peanuts clothes are made from viscose from bamboo, and they stretch. So even though you're like, well, this says one side, it's like, this stretches so much that they could wear it well into when they're, you know, would technically outgrow it. And the pajamas and dress that Ella got from them, they're her favorite pajamas. She told me, if you had pajamas like this, you would never take them off. So now I've got to get some like that. They are so very soft and cute, and just, they look really nice. They look like good quality, and they are good quality, and the dress, adorable.
So, so cute. Well, Posh Peanut makes thoughtfully crafted, beautiful, and stylish clothing for kids and families designed in-house. Their pieces are made with ridiculously soft viscose from bamboo that stays soft even after you wash them over and over again.
Posh Peanut is loved by over 1 million parents and also adored by all your favorite celebrities and influencers. We can't say their names, but if you know, you know.
And Posh Peanut is made for infants and kids, but they also have sizing for moms and dads if you want the whole family to match. And if, like me, you're not a parent, this is the perfect gift idea for a kid, because I'm always having to buy stuff for my nieces. And I'm like, what size are they? And even if I know their size, it might not be the right size. And even if I know their style, it might be itchy, uncomfortable. I know with Posh Peanut, it's going to fit them and that they're going to love it. Because like you said with Ella, this is, you'd never want to take this off. She's like, right? This dress is so soft. So thank you, Posh Peanut.
And they hold up so well in the wash.
Yes, and you don't have to be like, your Aunt Heather gave you that and it fell apart. It's like, no, I can give a gift with a good peace of mind.
Absolutely. Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with promo code CREEPY. Go to poshpeanut.com/creepy and use promo code CREEPY for 20% off your first order.
That's poshpeanut.com/creepy, promo code CREEPY.
Well, your daughter is written in, as she has been most weeks.
Hello.
Anonymous, this time, is writing in with the subject line of just culty things. Hey, ladies, I'm a little late to the game, but I've been catching up on episodes and just finished Freaky Friday episode 95. The story that was told about that girl's encounter with a Mormon man that quickly turned dangerous really stood out to me. I grew up in the Mormon church. I was taught growing up that the only safe people were Mormons, and anyone else was dangerous. You can imagine how that shaped my childhood. I grew up in a home and environment where abuse was normal, because it wasn't abuse, according to the adults. It was teaching me to be a better and more humble servant to God. Fast forward to when I turned 18 years old. I wanted to move out and start my own life, but my parents wouldn't allow it. I know that sounds silly, and it's easy to say, you're 18, just leave. But abuse is a funny thing, and it makes you think and believe things that aren't necessarily true. My parents had introduced me to the man that they had picked out for me to go on a date with, and hopefully marry. I had no intention on marrying. I just wanted to go to school and try to live my life. In the end, I did end up marrying this man. He was everything my parents wanted. So, to make them happy, I married him. To no one's surprise, I'm sure, he was abusive. I was married to this man for 10 years, and the abuse lasted throughout the whole marriage. Because I had grown up in an abusive home, I didn't know that what was happening to me was abuse. I thought it was normal. I had never been taught anything about abuse, or what it looks like, or what to look for. I finally divorced this man and was able to get the help I needed. I ended up seeking therapy and was diagnosed with BPD, CPTSD, and an anxiety disorder. I have since begun distancing myself from the religion, but it has been met with some very harsh words and threats from my family. From my mom telling me that I was lucky it was only my dog who had gotten hit by a car. He survived, don't worry, I don't even think old age could kill him, and not my children being hit, and that was proof that God still loves me. To threatening to take my children from me if I left the church, which she also somehow was able to have my bishop make the same threat towards me. I'm not sure if this is even something that's possible, but she knows that my kids are the only thing in this world that I care about, so they're an easy tool to use against me. I am taking the steps necessary to eventually be able to no longer have contact with them, but it is hard. My parents have people in my ward watching me and making sure I go to church every Sunday, as well as reminding me how easy it would be to lose my kids. I'm telling this story to show the cycle of abuse and how it won't end unless you yourself take steps to end it. And abuse isn't just physical, it's psychological and mental as well. The Mormon religion is a cult, and it's a cult that's filled with abuse. I would even go so far as to say that it encourages abuse. The mind games alone are insane, because anything less than following exactly what the prophets say is a sin against God, and you can't have sinners in your home or else you can't all go to the celestial kingdom. Thank you for reading my story, even if you don't share it on the pod. It's nice to share the things that happened to you to gain a little bit of power back, even if it is anonymous. I love listening to you guys, and I'm so happy to hear how you advocate for those who need a voice. Have a great day, Anonymous.
Well, my sweet anonymous daughter, first of all, they can't take your kids away if you don't want to take them to church. Hope maybe there's a legal aid in your area and you can reach out to like a legal helpline. You can usually search the LSC Legal Services Corp or just type in like legal aid near whatever or search in blank county, your county bar association and see if there's like a hotline you can call or something where I'm sure a good-hearted family law attorney in your area would love to flex up on these fools who think they can take your kids away from you because you're trying to get out of a cult. But I understand in the meantime, it's like survival, right? Like you just go, well, I guess I'll keep going because there's people watching me.
It's also like Anonymous said, it's a very easy tool to use for any abuser to use against you, your kids or pets or anything that they know or precious to you because it is such a fear to lose them. But they know that and they're doing it because they know it scares you. So if you can take that back by getting like some actual legal help and then be like, oh, well, too bad. I talked to a lawyer who talked to a judge and they say you're not allowed to do this.
But for real, I mean, it's like that you're right. That is that Achilles tendon on everybody that like, well, what wouldn't it be a shame if something happened to your kids and they weren't with you anymore?
Yeah, it'd be terrible. It'd be horrible and heartbreaking. And I certainly hope that doesn't happen to you because you're trying to protect your kids from growing up in an abusive cult that you had to grow up in and even into your adult life had to deal with.
Yeah, it's beautiful to see these chains being broken, but it's so much emotional and, you know, mental, physical labor trying to do that. Yeah. Like trying to unwind that. And it's not your fault for being in that situation, but it is incredibly brave of you to try to dig your way out, even if it's a little spoonful of dirt at a time. It's like you're still making some progress. So good on you for making that progress. And I hope that sooner rather than later, you don't have, you know, mandated Sunday visits to the temple or whatever that you don't really want to be going to.
I am proud of you and you should be proud of yourself. Yeah. And you're a great mom. So best of luck with everything. This next one is from May. And it is called Favorite Customer. Hi, ladies. If you read this on the air, I will probably pass out. We hope that you're okay. Please spark up a joint for me regardless because you two bring so much happiness to my week. Let's get into it. This happened to me when I was 16 and worked at a grocery store in my small Minnesota town. Population around 3,000, to set the scene. Working there as a teen was an okay job. I hated it at times because it could be so boring, but it brought me a lot of memories and laughs, plus it required minimal effort. I'll never forget the time we watched someone sprint out of the store shoplifting, one of the middle-aged supervisors chasing the thief, wheezing before they even reached the door. Theft successful. Then maybe or maybe not seeing the suspect at a house with my friend later that very night. Totally an unknown person to us, just happened to maybe or maybe not be there. I have many other slightly silly stories, but this story, I think, mainly highlights something different than silliness. Everyone has a favorite customer, or at least certain ones you kind of like. You get a good little volley with them during your three-minute interaction. Maybe you see them in the community and smile or wave at them. My favorite customer was Tim. He was probably 50-plus, married with a few daughters, one in the grade above me. We always had a good chat when I checked his groceries. I liked him. He was nice. If I saw him in town and he waved, I'd wave back. During one of our grocery store interactions, he noticed I had a hickey. Why didn't I cover this up, you ask? Well, my parents hadn't noticed it, so I figured it wasn't noticeable, and honestly, I probably forgot about it. Anyway, Tim asked me, "How'd you get that?" I didn't think it was noticeable, I said. He said something disarming. I don't remember what exactly it was, but I smiled and wished him a good night, thinking nothing of it, but feeling slightly dirty. One particularly busy evening at the store, Tim was in my line. We were chatting, and I was about finished with his items when he handed me the tiniest piece of paper. Seriously, half a pinky-sized piece of notebook paper crumpled into a ball. People have handed me their pocket garbage before to throw away, so I just tossed Tim's paper in the garbage. Why people can't throw their own weird personal trash away at the trash can right by the door, I do not know. "You were supposed to keep that," Tim said as he smiled at me and slowly started walking away as I looked at him weirdly. I fished through my tiny garbage can quickly as the next person unloaded their cart. I opened the little piece of paper, and written on it was, "Tim," followed by a phone number and, "Call me," smiley face emoji. My stomach dropped. I felt so uncomfortable. He was lingering by my till as I tried to ring up the next person. He stayed for a bit waiting, but it was so busy he was forced to leave or look like a creep. In the following weeks, he kept coming to my line no matter how busy. I was so openly rude to him, I didn't even say hello or goodbye. I explained to my manager what happened and was told that if Tim comes in the store, I can go in the back. The older teenage boy's supervisors knew to watch out for him. I openly told everyone he was a creep. I was 16. He knew I was younger than his own daughters. He seen me out with my mother. I was kind and happy towards him because I was working with my best friend. My boyfriend was one of the supervisors. I got to flirt. I was texting at work. I was immature. I was 16. I was not interested in a 50-year-old man. I never even considered someone three times my age would think I'd want to call them. I don't know what I would have done to give that impression. Thanks for reading my story. I've had other slightly weird happenings. None too interesting, but there's one super creepy story from my mom I've been trying to write in, but I can't figure out how to best put it into words yet. Hopefully, I will soon. Thank you for keeping me company during my long hours as a stay-at-home mom to two girls under two. Pictures attached. My oldest loves to dance to the theme song. Keep it creepy. Love, May. P.S. This is the sweetest P.S. I've ever had. So thank you, May. Christy, you are my motherhood role model. You are such a great mom. Thank you for raising kind little humans. Both you and Heather are such amazing, positive female role models. So intelligent, kind, and hilarious. Thank you for modeling how to be better, more caring people. I love how genuine and real you two are. You are the best. Please do a live show in Minnesota sometime. I'd suggest summertime over winter.
Oh, that is very, very kind. Thank you so much.
So kind. And May also sent pictures of her precious girlies. Little babies. Look at those toes.
Stop it.
You they're know very, I love a baby sweet. Feet.
Very oh, sweet.
They're both so sweet. And thank you so much. I've been feeling not like a good mom lately. So that's very nice to hear some words of encouragement. Sincerely.
She's right. You are raising kind little humans for sure.
Thank you.
That's how we make the world a better place so that we don't have men who are in their 50s who are giving their fucking phone number to a child.
This is why every woman wants to be in the woods with a bear over a man. Because yes. of shit like this.
Yes.
And I want to address, because May, you said, I don't know what I would have done to give that impression. You did nothing.
Nothing.
You did nothing but be a 16-year-old girl.
You were existing.
Yeah. You were just there. You were friendly. And this pervert took it as an invitation that you were flirting, that you, like you said, three times older than you, someone your dad's age. You think you have anything you want to do with that person? And no. First of all, it's illegal. Second of all, no.
Yikes. Yeah, May is in the grade below his daughter. So it's like, yeah. I'm even younger than your daughter. If you told me, hey, this person's going to hand a piece of paper to you, what do you wish was written on it? I wish it said, give me all the money in the register. I would rather have that than have honestly. This, where there's a 50-year-old man lingering by my register as a 16-year-old. And the whole bear debate, let's just get into that. If y'all haven't been online, how did it start? It's become kind of this meme. People on TikTok were asking.
I think it started on TikTok.
Like a man on the street question, like Billy Eigner style of like a question. If you were going to be stuck in the woods alone.
Would you rather be stuck in the woods with a man? You do not get to pick the man. It could be any random stranger or a bear.
Bear.
As a woman.
Yes.
Would you rather be stuck in the woods with a bear or a man that you don't know?
Yes.
And 9 out of 10 times it's a bear.
And it should be, because the statistics support men are more likely to kill you than bears.
A lot of good points have been made of, well, the worst thing that a bear will do is kill me.
Is kill me.
And also, if I get attacked by a bear and tell that story, people will believe me.
Yeah. And they won't ask me what I was wearing to get the bear to attack
me. And say that I liked being attacked by the bear.
I bet during that bear attack, you were secretly so happy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no one's ever
As
said that.
As you were being mauled to death. Yeah.
By a bear. No, it's
so
funny
it's
to me.
So it's shit like this that why women feel like that. And I'm so proud of your and thankful for your supervisor of like taking this seriously because that is, it's honestly, ban him from the store. Ban him
for
from the
sure.
store.
I think I'm hoping that we're moving towards that as a society where it's just there's a line of right and wrong. Because I think back, 20, especially 30 years ago, it was like, well, we don't want to make a scene and make it awkward for him. We live in sort of a polite society. And now I feel like women, or just in general, people in our generation are now in charge that we're like, hey, buddy, get the fuck out. You got to scram. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't treat your customers that way. And it's like, I can treat you however the fuck you want. If you're trying to fuck my teenage clerk, get out of here. Never show your face again. And you're lucky I don't call the fucking cops. So I'm hoping that we're moving more away from a polite society of like, well, we don't want to like be rude to him. Not that they were doing that here. Yeah. And I'm happy that May was allowed to like go in the back or whatever. Yeah. And also May being rude to him, it wasn't, well, I know he handed you his number, but you really need to be, use those like wow moments and like really have good customer service. It's like, yeah, you should be rude to him. He's a pervert.
And you know what, May? I admire you because I think to when I was 16 and if I was in this position, I wouldn't have done that. I would have felt dirty and gross and uncomfortable and all of those feelings, but I would have still probably been nice to him when he came through the line because that was what was drilled into us of like, customer's always right, but also it's a 50-year-old man. What am I going to do as a 16-year-old girl? Like, you automatically are like, they have the upper hand. I'm just like in fight or flight mode now.
Yeah. And you say fight, flight, freeze, or appease. Mm-hmm. And if you're taught to be a good little girl, be nice, you got to be really kind and polite and nice and likable, then we default to appease oftentimes. And so then it's like, oh, hey, Mr. Smith, I guess you're back. And it's like, did you just throw that paper away? And you're like, I see you got a lot of carrots.
Got any other hickeys? To see a hickey.
Yikes.
And then that's like, I think what prompted, the
Gross.
Note.
Gross.
Yeah. That hickey didn't come from a 50-year-old man. No. Asshole. You Ugh. Know, it's a peer, and that's who it should come from.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it always makes me think too, how sick to my stomach I feel for his own kids.
Yes, to think about that he has those like urges and feelings and clearly is into that age of mm-hmm. child and is like willing to express it outwardly. It makes you worried of like
age of child.
Yeah, and it's just like, what other parts of your life mm-hmm. are you trying to take advantage of your connection to kids in? In this case, she happens to be working at a grocery store. And I specifically use the term child because that is what a 16-year-old, undeveloped, mm-hmm. not finished developing child is.
You would be tried as a minor in court as a child. So,
you know, because it's like, well, the statute of limitations. If you're Googling what's the statute of limitations, take 5 steps back from your life and figure out what the fuck is going on. Back in the day when you Googled what is the statute of limitation in and then entered a city, Google would put Dennis from It's Always Sunny's head up like, why are you searching this?
Oh, nice.
It would like judge
We need
you.
That back. If that went away,
I don't know
petition if petition to get Google. I know you're listening, you bitch. You listen to everything we do.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
Put Dennis's head back on there.
No, but I am speaking from great experience as a 19-year-old who dated a 29-year-old and a 23-year-old who dated a 36-year-old. You almost never have anything in common with them.
No. And all too often, we just go along with it because we're young and, but good on you, May, for being like, fuck this guy. I'm not going to talk to him. Like that is, a trait that I wished I had when I was your age. So I love that maybe that's what we're trending towards now. And like women won't put up with shit like they used to.
And we say stuff and like are open. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about it off the air right before we started. But that woman that went viral in Salt Lake City, she was in her late 40s and she came and yanked the skirt down of a 19-year-old girl and was like trying to tell her skirt was too short. That woman's now been charged with, I think it's sexual battery, as she should. You can't put your hands up anybody's skirt. But in the footage of it, what really interested me was the 19-year-old girl's friends came around her and was like, you don't get to touch her. We're going to call the police on you, ma'am. Step away from her. Whereas I think in my age, I'd be like, well, I'm only 19. She's like almost 50. She's like kind of a grown up. I shouldn't say anything. And I'm very pleased to see young people just going, hey, man, no, you're not
We're
doing that.
We're people too. Age doesn't mean that you get to act that way. You know,
you don't get a free to grab pass. On me.
No, especially I'll be goddamned if anybody sticks their hands up my skirt without permission and yanks something down. But to my 19-year-old daughter, oh, bitch.
Right to jail.
Sexual battery is just the beginning of what we're going to try and press against you. How dare you?
Yeah.
For so many reasons.
No, it was such a – she seemed really entitled. And their courts are calling her Karen and everything. But it's beyond that. It's like deranged. Like what behavior?
Yeah,
you ever think you could go touch anybody else? It's just pretty
Imagine
much
if that had been a man.
Law. Yes, absolutely.
Like, I mean, and just because it's not doesn't mean that it's still okay. Like you cannot put your hands on a person like that in any way. That's just never okay.
No, period. The law kind of starts and stops at touching. I mean, spitting, yelling at certainly can be charged as well. But if you're ever like, I'm not quite sure what the line is, it's always touching.
Yeah.
Arrested Development rules. No touching.
No touching. I'm not touching you. Can't get mad.
Proud of you, May. So proud of
Very
you.
Very proud
I hope
of you.
There's going to be more Mays out there who are willing to say something.
I know that you are just as good of a mom because look at these two happy angels. And at 16, you had the wherewithal to be like, nah, fuck this. So
hell yeah.
You're a great mom. You're going to raise those little girls right.
Yeah, they're lucky to have you. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, this next one is from Lindsay, and the subject line is, my mother-in-law tried to kill me? Hey, friends. With Mother's Day coming up, I thought I would share a story of a not-so-great mother-in-law. But also, my mom is pretty great in this narrative, too. This is the story of the time that I'm pretty sure my mother-in-law tried to kill me, or at least could have killed me. My first marriage, which has been over almost 9 wonderful years, was to a narcissist. Of course, I didn't realize that at the time. I was young and stupid and masking unaddressed trauma. I have type 1 diabetes, which I was diagnosed with as a kid and have always handled very responsibly. My ex-mother-in-law was a nurse, so you would think she would understand the difference between common misconceptions and truth, but she didn't. She would say things about how I was so lucky her son, an unemployed musician, would marry someone who was sickly and would never give him children. I just shrugged it off. She lived 5 hours away, and I didn't quite realize what a mama's boy I was marrying. So, flash forward to the birth of my first child. I had a high-risk pregnancy, what with diabetes, and I had been on bed rest for a couple of weeks. Then, when the time came to induce, my body wasn't ready. That same day, my perinatologist noticed the baby wasn't moving much, and my blood sugar was crashing. Not a good sign in late pregnancy. So, it was determined I would have an emergency C-section. All in all, it was not a bad experience. A little stressful, but I loved and trusted my doctors, and I was just so happy to meet my rainbow baby. Everything went great, until about 3 hours after delivery. My blood pressure spiked like crazy, and they were afraid I was going to have a stroke. I had postpartum preeclampsia, and I got put on a mega dose of magnesium. This meant I couldn't eat or drink anything for days due to risk of aspiration. The mag made me really, really sick. When I was finally taken off of it, my body was severely distressed, and I was probably in starvation ketosis, really bad for a diabetic. It also seems that the hormonal imbalance led to an immediate onset of postpartum depression syndromes. TLDR, it was bad. They left me on an IV to keep me hydrated. This is standard for anyone, but would be especially dangerous for a diabetic to get dehydrated. Okay, so here's where my mother-in-law comes in. She drove her ass up to the hospital as fast as she could and proceeded to make things as awkward as you can imagine. I was trying and failing to nurse, even as sick as I was, and she was super offended that I didn't kick people out of the room to do so. But then she would complain that she couldn't be in there and my mom could. To be clear, I didn't ask her to leave. As I got sicker and sicker, I couldn't even hold my new baby. It was awful. She just sat in the corner rocker all day, the moment they let people in until the moment they kicked people out, judging me. She told my mom I was, quote, malingering because I was scared to go home with a baby. She would loudly tell anyone who was listening that I was faking it. Fortunately, I was pretty much too sick to even hear most of this, but my parents were offended and horrified. They did their best to defend me without making a scene. They repeatedly took her out for meals just to get her out of my room if they could. Finally, after 4 or 5 days in the hospital, I have a blurry memory of my mom asking me about my IV. I was really confused and couldn't figure out what the deal was. My mother-in-law piped in, "I had them remove it. She's never going to get better if we keep indulging her." What the fuck? My mom flipped out and went full terms of endearment. She ran to the nurse's station faster than I knew she could and started demanding to know why my IV had been removed. As she and the charge nurse walked back to the room, I could hear my mother-in-law basically telling them that I needed tough love, and my mom was yelling at her saying, "I have diabetes and can't eat or drink. I could die very quickly without proper care." In case you're wondering, my husband just sat there without doing shit. It turns out that I had had a nurse that morning who didn't speak much English. Somehow, my mother-in-law convinced her to remove my IV with constant reassurances that she was a nurse, she was family, and it was in my best interest. To this day, I don't really know how it went down, but I do know my husband witnessed the whole thing and just let it happen. The charge nurse got me a new IV, my husband and his mom went out for a smoke, and my mom just sat there, fuming. It all blew over for the sake of the new baby, plus I was so out of it I didn't really grasp what had happened for a while. My parents visited constantly after that. I didn't realize it then, but they were protecting me from the evil mother-in-law. They were also the ones who got me smoothies when I started to keep food down. My conservative dad went bra shopping for me when my doctor said I needed to stop nursing and recommended a specific type of bra, and he even bought the push gift that my husband gave me, which I found out after the divorce. Meanwhile, when I was released, my mother-in-law came back to our apartment with us where she ignored the fact that I was a new mom. She didn't help with anything, and she proceeded to watch the Casey Anthony trial nonstop. Not at all upsetting for a new mom who was struggling with some health stuff. To wrap up, let me just share that she got worse and worse, but I fought back. We left her house at midnight during one visit where she tried to start shit with me and never went back. When we had baby number 2, I put her on a list of people not allowed to visit, and I told my husband she was not welcome in my home. and I hadn't seen her in years by the time of the divorce. When we would visit, I would go get my nails done with my stepmom-in-law while my husband brought the kids to see his mom. She was a constant point of contention in an already crappy marriage, and one of the best parts about divorce was getting her out of my life. Heather, you and I have had long talks about this, but I just want to put it out there for all the listeners. It's never too late to blow up your life and start over. For a long time, I was under the influence of a narcissist who I stayed with, even though I was absolutely miserable. Getting out is hard, but don't choose the certainty of misery over the misery of uncertainty. One big thing I remember is lying a lot. If you're in a relationship where you feel the need to lie or hide things from people who love you, please consider why. Since I walked away, I learned to love being a single parent, I found a new career, earned a couple of master's degrees, and even ended up getting remarried and having another beautiful baby with my perfect partner, who my older boys call Dad. Life turned out pretty great. Love you guys so much. Can't wait to see the Full Moon Energy Tour.
Well, we know Lindsay very well. She's a dear friend, and we love you too. And
yes.
I had not heard this story, and then I told you, Heather, the other night, I said, Lindsay wrote in, I guess her mother-in-law tried to kill her, and you go, oh, yeah, she did. She did try to kill her. I was like,
oh, I know this story.
Her oh, no. But it's what was wild is when I was reading this, I was like, this sounds like Lindsay. And then at the end, I was like, this is Lindsay.
Hey, wait.
But, you are a badass dude for like blowing up your life like that. And like, I've knew you when you were married to this guy, just not for very long. And then the night and day change of happiness from being in a relationship like that to like seeing her now and her amazing husband. They've got another baby. Her boys are so great. Like it does get better. And I got to write down in some kind of book the quote of getting out is hard, but don't choose the certainty of misery over the misery of uncertainty.
Say it again. The reason why this podcast exists at all is because I blew my life up and then was able to like feel free and creative. And literally part of the reason why I blew my life up was because I met Lindsay and she told me about this like relationship she had been in and she was really miserable. And I was like, well, yeah, but like, I can't just like live in this uncertain world. And she was like, I mean, I distinctly remember the street light in Dallas that where we were standing when she was just like, there's nothing holding you back. Like you are free, go be independent. And I was like, if I can free just one more person, like she freed me, I will do it. And so hopefully this will help free so many more people when you just, you have that feeling of like, I'm literally trapped. Like this woman can try to direct my medical care when I'm unconscious, which to the, and
that is abhorrent. You hear about horrible mother-in-laws. There's a whole subreddit dedicated to it. But to see it in action of like, what are you doing? Like you could really hurt somebody. I don't know if you were intentionally trying to kill her, but at the very least you accidentally could have killed her.
Yeah. It's like your own selfishness and narcissism is like, well, I would just, I think she's faking it and I'm going to prove myself right. And it's like, well then, like you said, you're not, I'm going to kill her because I want to. It's my delusion is such that I think she's faking it. So I'm willing to risk killing her, which is exactly what happened. But Lindsay's mom is a very, I can see Lindsay's mom running to the nurse station going, what are you doing?
Full like, terms because, of endearment.
Yeah,
I love that. Also, what a sack of shit your ex is for just sitting there.
Loser.
Like his mom just bulldozed the whole thing. Like,
yes.
What a loser you are. But yeah, it's to be a single parent, you couple masters getting
with
remarried,
like 4.0. Like, sorry, I'm gonna brag on you. Like she graduated at least one of them, if not both, like 4.0.
Yeah, and also being a full time mom to three kids, and having a full time job,
incredible,
and being married. Like all that to say, it is possible. And I've been in relationships where you're like, and I had even less of a tie to the person than you know, just having a baby, and you're like, I am so unhappy.
Yes.
But God, it'd be such a bitch to blow all this up and start over. But when you're thinking that, just think don't choose the certainty of misery over the misery of uncertainty. Because like we say, time is going to pass. Mm-hmm. So 6 months from now is going to happen, whatever you're doing.
Yes.
So wouldn't you rather be doing something that's happier than what you're doing right now?
Absolutely. And Lindsay is the reason why I met Paris, because she gave me her hot tips on Bumble. She met her husband on Bumble. Why isn't Bumble sponsoring? I met Paris on Bumble.
Bumble.
Hello, someone called Bumble. But for real, like that, of like that idea of like, there could be someone out there for you. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing wasting your life in this stagnation? And there, it turns out there was someone out there for me. So how wonderful.
And
so,
there was someone out there for Lindsay as well.
Yeah,
and to anyone else going through a similar situation, there's very well someone out there for you. Also, it's okay if there isn't and you're just like happy and single for the rest of your life. I've got friends that do that too, many by choice. And just because I'm having a blast doing my own thing, you know?
That's how I felt whenever I first was single. I was like, I get to eat whatever I want, whenever I want. Get to go to sleep, wake up, do whatever. I had all these choices.
Go out with whoever I want.
Yes. Not to say that you have to
worry about somebody else.
Immediately end one thing and jump into the other. But just that also subsequent, like a year and a half later, I also met Paris. But that idea of just, there's nothing wrong with being, and in fact, it's a beautiful thing to be unshackled, untethered, and free.
Yeah. Get to date yourself, do whatever you want. Absolutely.
And if you've been freed, turn around and free somebody else like Lindsay did and like I try to do and like you do, Christy.
Try to pay it forward.
Anytime. Well, thank you for writing it in, my dear.
Yes. Love you, Lindsay.
Love you. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. This next one is from Coral, and the subject line is Sliding Door Moment and the Value of Community. Hello to my favorite ear best friends. I'll save you the long list of accolades and just get into it. I grew up in a town of 500, where everyone knew everyone, and as much as we were all in each other's business, we also knew how to come together when tragedy struck. This story happened when I was 2. There was a family in our church, who is also related to my family, who had lived in our town for most of their lives. The parents were Dave and Mabel, and their oldest child, Connie, was married with 2 toddlers. After her were 4 siblings, the youngest being 13. Dave was well-loved in the community, working for the volunteer fire department and running his own auto shop with his sons. He loved kids, and my mom tells me he was very fond of me, acting as a pseudo-young grandpa. In November 1993, Dave, his son-in-law Everett, Connie's husband, and Dave's oldest son went on a hunting trip in the western United States. All 3 were due back to the closest airport to our town, a 6-hour drive, in northern Minnesota on December 1st. Last minute, the oldest son decided to stay out west with the relatives for a few extra days and come home later. Dave and Everett proceeded as planned on their multi-flight trek back home, and eventually they ended up on Northwest Airlink Flight 5719 out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, bound for International Falls, Minnesota. Unfortunately, the flight went down outside of Hibbing. 16 passengers and 2 crew members were all killed on impact. An investigation into the crash showed that prior to the crash, the flight had been uneventful with no significant weather. Stories began to come out about the pilot, who was known amongst crew members for outbursts of anger and, even on occasion, taking out his anger doing dangerous maneuvers while operating the plane in flight. The concluding statement from the NTSB report, NTSB AAR 9405, provided the following probable cause for the crash of Northwest Airlink Flight 5719. Quote, the captain's actions led to a breakdown in crew coordination and the loss of altitude awareness by the flight crew during an unstabilized approach in night instrument meteorological conditions. Contributing to the accident were the failure of the company management to adequately address the previously identified deficiencies in airmanship and crew resource management of the captain, the failure of the company to identify and correct a widespread, unapproved practice during instrument approach procedures, and the Federal Aviation Administration's inadequate surveillance and oversight of the air carrier. Our little community came together for this family. The volunteer fire department spent time chopping wood for the family's wood stoves, brought meals, helped with home repairs, and just overall loved on the 2 widows and their children. They've both expressed that as tragic as the situation was, there wasn't a moment that they felt alone. Small towns have their issues, but I also believe they really know how to love their community members well. The son who stayed behind and, in a sliding glass door moment, was saved from the same fate as his father and brother-in-law, is now married with three children. Took over the operation of his dad's shop for over 20 years until it was destroyed in a case of arson. Another story. Thanks for reading, and remember to listen to your gut if you feel you should stay on your trip just a little longer. Keep it creepy. P.S. If you've ever heard of the show on Discovery called Mayday, there's an episode about this called Killer Attitude.
Oh, man. This reminds me of MH370, just you or and the subsequent Freaky Friday we had where the hotel concierge got yelled at by the pilot. Maybe I'll just crash the plane today.
It's like, what?
And then you see a real story of a captain with anger issues that would act those out while flying the plane. That's terrifying.
It is. And then, I mean, arguably, MH370, that pilot, they didn't even know. They were like, ah, he has some like home stuff going on. But no one said, well, sometimes, you know, he does the plane in a nosedive and pulls it up if someone didn't get his coffee on time. But the fact that this captain had a known record of behaving like that, he should have been grounded, full stop. Like, why was he still allowed? I mean, I guess that's probably why the FAA also shouldered some of the burden if they had inadequate surveillance and oversight of, like, why did this air carrier allow this unhinged pilot who had a reputation? Again, it's not like, well, he secretly hid his mental health problems. It was like, no, he was openly like, I'll take us all, you know. And then it turns into something that's like a true nightmare. It's like the absolute worst case scenario to be behaving like erratically based on your emotions. If you can't keep your emotions in check, it sounds like, sir, you're too emotional to be a pilot. But like you have to keep that anchor down because people's lives are on the line.
Anytime somebody's behind the wheel of a car or a plane or anything and they are the ones in control of like your safety and shit goes sideways – It's this very scary place to be. I'm going to check out this episode for sure. It's so sad that when like multiple members of the family are involved in something like this. And then you also got to look at, wow, what made that one stay behind, you know, who wouldn't have gone on to have a wife and three kids if not for that.
Yeah, that whole life. And I think there's something to what Coral said of like, you know, as tragic as it is for those two women and their children now, you know, being husbandless, being fatherless, to have a community really come and put their arms around them and be like, listen, you're not alone. You are supported. There's going to be somebody there for you for all of the, you know, like they said, just home repairs, chopping wood, like little things you take for granted that can make grief so much worse, to have someone help shoulder that burden. I think that's always a beautiful thing. Absolutely. So it sounds like that town is, your town was a beautiful place with a big heart for sure. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, thank you very much for sending that one in. And this last one is from Danny. And the subject line is, the time we should have just kept driving. Hey, ladies. I'm so grateful for your podcast and the energy you bring. Your delivery, humor, and seriousness when detailing the cases you cover is absolutely perfect, and I appreciate it. So, let's get into it. After listening to Freaky Friday 99, I felt like maybe this incident would be worth sharing. My partner is in the military, which means we're set to move typically every 3 years. He had finished up recruiting duty, and we were headed to California. We decided to pack up our two dogs and take his new truck and tow my SUV. We packed both vehicles with items that we didn't want movers touching, like my blanket my now late grandma and I made together. She was the world's most wonderful ray of sunshine. And ashes from my partner's dad, and his sand from Mount Eugenia. Those were some of the most sacred items we both had in the cars. As we drove, we made stops along the way. We stopped in Texas twice, because it's huge, as you know, and a truck hauling a car can only drive so fast. We made it a plan to stop every 6 hours, simply because I couldn't drive that big rig, and I didn't want him driving while fatigued. We stopped in Tucson, Arizona, which arguably was the worst decision we could have ever made. The signs were there to just keep going, but we didn't listen. We are Hilton people, but all the Hiltons in Tucson were booked. So we sucked it up and booked the night at a Marriott near the Tucson airport. Keep in mind, we had to find a place that were dog friendly, which was also hard. My partner backed the cars in, and we got checked in, went to Whataburger, then went to sleep. When we woke up the next morning to let the dogs out, the nightmare began. Both of our cars and the dolly connecting them were gone. At first, we thought the hotel had had it towed because we were in more than one spot. But they informed us that even though the signs say they'll tow, they don't. So, unfortunately, we realized they had both been stolen. Cars are replaceable, but the memories they both held can't be replaced. I had an aloe plant that I bought when we first moved in together in the front seat of my car, and just so many other items that hit me every time I went to look for them after the fact. What's hard is we were only 6 hours from California. We could have kept going and all this would have been avoided. The police did what they could, but I think they were more concerned about the cars and not the memories. I fear to this day that the people who stole our cars just dumped the items inside a local dumpster and took the vehicles. I would say we've both accepted it now as there's nothing that can change this. But if anyone in the Tucson area has seen a maroon-backed quilt with t-shirts sewn on the front or a glass jar with black sand with Marines lifting the American flags on the front, I would appreciate for you to contact me if this makes it on Freaky Friday. I'm also in the Facebook group if anyone knows anything. Side note, darker humor. My partner's mom's response when we told her about the car theft went like this. My partner, our cars were stolen. They took Dad. Mom, I have plenty more of Dad. Worry about the other stuff. So I do hope that his dad is continuously haunting whoever stole our cars. Thank you for listening and reading this, even if it doesn't make it on the air. Love you both and all the Cine sisters. I included a photo of our two dogs and the aforementioned image that would be on the sand bottle. Again, thank you.
Oh, I hate it. Danny, I hate it so much. Those things are, you're right. You could give me $1 million, but ashes of your dad?
That's not the same.
Mm-mm. Yeah. And people that steal other people's shit like this.
Gets me.
Yeah, because you are just doing it like, oh, it's a quick like money thing. I'm just mm-hmm. going to sell these off. You don't realize the emotional damage
for real, though,
that you did to these people. Like yes. things that can't ever be replaced. And then mm-hmm. think like those criminals, you think, what's your most prized possession? And if somebody just took that from you, like, yeah. I just can't with people that do shit like that. By the way, your dogs in this bed sleeping like people are
They're so fucking cute.
So it's thank like you so much.
Two golden retrievers on their back in a hotel bed with they're tucked in and their little paws are on top of the bed.
Love it's it. Very they cute. They look so sweet.
No, but you're right. And I think that's kind of twofold is like the people stealing it, you don't even know what you're stealing. It's like when people break into a storage unit. Mm-hmm. Like you don't know if you're stealing someone's grandma's diaries that's the only copy in your, or like the listener we had here where her diaries got stolen, where yeah. you've stolen something that's like irreplaceable. And especially like the ashes. But even beyond that, we watched a YouTube video where a guy was interviewing Kia boys, where the kids on TikTok were getting the USB, and they've now updated Kias. So if you have a Kia, make sure it's like updated at the dealership. But you just like would pop the keyhole, the ignition switch off of a Kia, and then you could just plug a USB in and it would just start the car. Well, these boys were
that
just like...
A gross oversight in production.
It's whenever you're like, that is when they knew they had fucked up. And it's like the Kia guy is just sweating like, I thought I updated it.
That
oh,
big
God.
Ass hamster's like just running his Kia's little legs can't keep up in that wheel.
He's like, come back here with my car. But no, but on the one hand, they show these Kia boys who are like teenagers. They're like, they would steal these cars. They would take them to neighborhoods where people were going to use them as getaway cars for crimes. So they didn't care. They would like do donuts in them. They would launch them off of stuff. They would just do a robbery in it and then abandon it or whatever. The ones that stole it had this like moral rationale in their head that they were like, oh, everybody has insurance, so it doesn't matter. We're not really like stealing from people because fuck those
That's
people.
That's not how it works.
They have insurance. Well, then the journalist also went and interviewed a woman whose car had been stolen by Kia boys, and she's like, well, I lost my job because I couldn't get to work that day and they didn't care that I was late because my car was stolen, and because I lost my job, I'm now 3 months behind on my rent. I mean, it's just like,
yeah.
you don't understand. You have set off a chain of the insurance. Yeah. It takes care of it. No, there's a ripple effect.
And also not everybody has insurance. So
no. Or good insurance.
Even if they do, it's not like that is a ridiculous justification for trying to explain away why it doesn't matter. You steal somebody's car. I mean, that's somebody's like livelihood, like you said, getting to work, and they're just like, I'm just going to go launch it off a dock just for shits and giggles. And you're like, you don't realize, like, we all got to think, how does this affect everybody else? And stop just thinking about, well, how does this benefit me?
Right. It's like the cars that you stole out of this Marriott parking lot that you might go and sell for $100 to somebody who's going to use it as a getaway vehicle. You've just like ripped a piece of somebody's heart out that they are still looking for. And yeah, if anyone in Tucson sees a quilt blanket that's maroon on the back or t-shirts on the front or this like a bottle of sand with kind of the Iwo Jima, it looks like, image on it. Please let us know, email us. But it's just such a hard thing. I'm glad that your partner's mom was, you know, like, we've got more of dad, like, take it in stride.
Also, that's funny.
Yeah.
Funny. She's like, I got some of them here, too. So that's okay.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, it's heart-wrenching to think about that kind of stuff. And I totally get it, Danny. I would feel this every time. I'd be like, oh, wish I had that aloe plant that we got when we first moved in together. I get very attached to things like that.
Yeah, so stuff like that where you grew it together. Yeah.
Yeah. And fuck those people. And karma's a bitch. And trash always takes itself out.
That's right.
So something, if it hasn't already happened, something will happen to the people that are responsible for that. I'm not saying they're going to like get viciously murdered, but you know. Something shitty is going to happen. Shitty will happen.
Yes, of equal or three times measure probably will. But thank you. At least you still have those two sweet pups that to take home. The most precious cargo.
Well, thank you so much for sending that in. And thank you to everyone else for sending in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 800 hours of bonus content. We also give our free subscribers monthly archived audio bonus content. So there's something for everybody, even if you're just like, signing up for free to see what's going on.
Yeah, and if you're like really wanting to look what's going on, we have free trials, which are one step beyond the free members. And the free trials are 1 week to check out all of the perks. You can cancel anytime before that week's up. But during that week, you can binge listen to anything we've got on there. Our most recent minisode about the criminalization of the Juggalos. We have some listener confessions coming up. We have a Judge Christie on deck. Of course, we have many Judge Christie's past, as well as we've got those live streams. So we don't have the live streams not on the book for May yet. We'll get y'all the date soon, but you can go back and watch archive versions of all of our live streams and bonus content stuff during that free trial.
True crime headlines, Am I the Asshole, Off My Chest, Confessions. There's so much content up there. There's something for everybody.
For sure.
And I always love when they're like, you want to try out the most high tier thing for free? And I'm like, absolutely I do. Yeah. And I will take advantage of all of it.
Yeah, I'm like, if it's a trial, give me a trial of like the platinum membership. Like, I'm not trying to get the bronze trial. I'm trying to get the platinum trial every time. Give me that free week for sure. Well, go get your free week over on Patreon. Check out ad-free episodes, all those live streams, weekly bonus content, monthly minisodes, merch discounts. And what's the best part of Patreon?
The community that we have, that I can't even say we've built. They've built themselves up around us. But we have the community of the best listeners on the internet.
We appreciate and love y'all. Well, be sure to head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out the merch that we got going on, like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. If you want to match your kiddo this summer, rolling around in a super cute shirt, may we recommend the Flatwoods Monster Believe and Be Kind merch designed by our junior researcher, Ella, who it's very, very cute. And, you know, we've been to the Flatwoods Monster Museum. I'd say it's very accurate now,
too. It's super accurate. I would agree.
And shop our clearance sale and be sure you use those Patreon discount codes to get your discount.
Absolutely. And while you're on our website, you can also review the show. We make it super simple to give us a 5-star review. We would appreciate it so much. You can also follow us on socials, check out the episode description, and you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to all the live show tickets for our full moon energy tour.
Yeah, make sure you get those and follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Watch full video versions of the show on YouTube. They drop early and ad-free on Patreon. And we also do a story of the week from Freaky Friday as well. So check those out on YouTube. We got short form content and all kinds of stuff on TikTok. And if you want us to make a video specially just for you, you could do that at cameo.com. Search up Sinisterhood and let us know what we're celebrating, what you want to talk about, and we'll make a little video. We'd say happy birthday, happy anniversary, happy Mother's Day, pep talk, graduation. Yeah.
There's all, I mean, really,
sky's the limit.
Yeah, sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. Honestly, test your boundaries. See what we'll do. I don't know. Put it in there. All we'll do is say no. You can ask us to deliver any kind of news you want. I would die / love if someone was like, can you break up with my boyfriend or girlfriend? Only you don't if know they me. Deserved it, though.
Yeah, it's like, hello, you don't know us. We're podcasters / comedians, and we have some news for you. Oh, yeah. Well, Christy, where can people find you up on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather, what about you?
I'm on that internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Say.